March 2nd, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 48, a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. In this time, the city of God was Jerusalem. The city is also mentioned in the New Testament, like in the Revelation, saying that the new Jerusalem is coming down to be a priest. This does not mean the city actually falls down from the sky. Jerusalem is a model and a metaphor used throughout the Bible. The Psalm 48 praises the city and also talks about the battle with the opposing force in verse 4 and 5. So what are they fighting about? The verse 6 gives you an idea. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs. If you look at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, it also talks about the birth pangs. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. Talks about the destruction people will experience in the end time, and the suffering is described like the birth pangs. As the letter of Peter says, that we should not try to understand the whole Bible from one part. We always have to cross-reference the Bible. So, if you just look at the psalm, it is hard to understand. But if you look at Thessalonians, you now know that this is about the end time. And as it says in the verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. There are two types of people, and those who are not in the darkness will not suffer from the pain like a birth pangs, but those who persecute the people of God will suffer from the pain. If you understand this part, it would be easier for you to comprehend the rest of the psalm. Since we are talking about the birth pang, let me talk about this a little more. Though, as I am a man and I don't have a personal experience, the birth pang always comes suddenly. So what I understand is that the destruction of the church would come suddenly. It will happen in a way what we could not foresee. Like Yoshitsune Minamoto took his troop into the rout that the Heike army did not expect and brought them into a victory. There was a rocky cliff, and Heike army did not expect that the enemy would come down the cliff. So when Minamoto's army said to their shogun that they could not go down the cliff, Yoshitsune told them to send down the deer. And they saw a deer going down the cliff. So he concluded that if a deer could go down, a horse should be able to go down. So they did. And Heike's army received the Minamoto army coming down from the cliff, down on the cliff, and was destroyed completely. And I'm not sure if a deer can go down the path or a horse can handle the same path, but since I live in the city, I don't know neither deer or horse, but that's what the story says. So things happen unexpectedly when you're pursuing the wrong path or wrong belief. I believe that the Christian community will be invaded by false doctrines, and the destructions will come in a way that one cannot expect. Jesus will not come before the end time, or the third temple will not be built in Jerusalem, and they will be caught by surprise. And they're still looking at the EU for believing that the EU is the nation of beasts. Some even believe that anything that is happening in the United States can be completely ruled out because the nation is not mentioned in the Bible. If you say that, Japan is not mentioned in the Bible either. So those who are caught in the wrong belief will be hit by birth pang-like suffering unexpectedly. But if you are in the light, you will be spared from the suffering, since it says, But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. But if you believe in the left behind series like fables, you will be one of those who get hit by surprise. Going back to the Psalm, verse 4. For behold, the king assembled, they passed by together. This resembles the description of Armageddon, where kings assemble together, and here in the Psalm, they start persecuting God's people. But in the verse 5, they saw it, and so they marveled, and they were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there. I know we are doing this in the wrong order, but let's go to the verse 3. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. Refuge is like a trench where you can hide from the air raid. So when bullets are flying, if you're hiding in a trench, you're safe. Whether you're in the refuge or not will determine your fate. If you're outside, you could get hit by the bullets and you die. If you live as a Christian, you will see bullets coming at you. But God will protect you if you stay inside of His refuge. And you will experience that in your daily walk. Just like when we are struggling with the publishing company, we had a lot of problems, but God protected us from all. And I have been praying for a new publisher, and we were introduced to this new publisher with the right people, the right size, right cost, and the right customer service. And I really feel for people in this world who don't know God, that they have to fight the battle on their own with their own strength. But as for us, God is fighting our battle. That's why we have so many book orders, which is rare for self-publishing, everyone says. It is all because we are praying and God is guiding us. Verse 7, As when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. Similar verse can be found in the Revelation about the wind breaking the ship. Wind is a spirit. So what is a ship? Ship is there to travel through the water, which is the Holy Spirit. So I think the ship is a metaphor of the church. So I think this is about the church being destroyed and church being deceived by the false revival. Verse 8. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. You can cross-reference with Ezra, but this is also about the church. So there are two types of church. One is that is established forever, and another one is that is led to destruction. From verse 9 to 11, We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgment. As you know, God is God of judgment. Of course, He judges the dead, but He also judges the living. In the natural, you don't see a judge in our daily lives. You have to have some kind of serious problems like a car accident or stealing to see a judge in court. But God is judging us whether we follow the law or not. So if we do the right thing, He will acknowledge that. And if we do the wrong thing, He corrects us. I did not know it before, but nowadays I see more and more that God really watches what we do and judges us rightly. For a long time, I did not understand why God was using someone like me, because there are many other people who are much more talented and smarter than me. I saw many smart people at a seminary. But one thing I know that I did right was I was obedient to the Lord, like little Peter says, not to interpret the Bible solely from one section. So I cross-studied the Bible. I studied the parables too, because God speaks in a parable. And because of that, I was persecuted from my old church and I was expelled. I was so disappointed because I thought that if I kept preaching, people would eventually see and understand it, but it did not happen. And people did not change, and I got kicked out. Then I started this church. So I felt like God had rewarded me, not for my eloquent speech or talent or anything, but for me being obedient. Judging is to judge the wrong and the right accordingly. So he judges both. And when I got expelled, it was the head pastor who made the decision, and the congregational agreed with him. And I was thinking, I was only following God's word. But because of that, I am where I am now. And this is only one example. So if you have a righteous life now, in the end time, you have nothing to worry about. From the verse 12, walk about Zion and go all around her, count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. So God is our guide. It is like when we went to Jerusalem. Because we didn't know the way around, we had a tour guide. And the guide took us to many different places, like a church that was built at the birth site of Christ, and the tomb of Christ turned into a church. That place was kind of spooky. I also went to the upper room where they had the Pentecost. And the guide took our Japanese group to all those places. God is also a guide in our lives. So if you're following the Lord, we can walk through a difficult situation, even an uncharted territory. Jesus said, the gate is small and the narrow is the path that leads to life, and only few will find it. And the way that leads to destruction is wide, and there are many who enter through it. Although the Lord stresses the difficulty of the path, if He is the guide, I believe we can walk through it, because He said, my sheep hear my voice. He tells us to get out of the cage, pick up the sword, and go through this path, and we hear Him, and the path gets more and more difficult. And I used to believe in the wrong doctrine, and I used to think that once we become a Christian, we will be set for life. That's what I really used to believe. And I was standing on the wide path. Then I started hearing a little small voice, and God took me to the story of five wise virgins and five foolish ones. And He showed me that there are ones that cannot enter into the marriage. He made it clear to me that there are two types of Christians, and the path got a bit narrower. And as I walked the path, I started seeing more and more things, like the truth about the end time. I wrote this in the latest newsletter about binding the strong man. I asked the Lord whether this is not about the demon to set the captive free, and the Lord told me to think more. And I thought about Christ being bound. And I realized that there will be a time that the move of the Holy Spirit will be bound within the church, just like Christ was bound. This is all guided by God. The Israeli tour guide was also a good guide. Her name was Deborah, and she was very knowledgeable and was very good at what she was doing. She was very good with children. God is an awesome guide too, only if you listen to His voice and follow Him.